He's John Kincaid.
I appreciate all of you who, in a civilized manner, not the jackwagons, but in a civilized manner, can call me out on something or question me on something or make me think about something. Because you know what? I'm no expert. And I'm a guy who has a radio show.
Back to the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You know where I am right now? Well, I'm at the studios of 680 The Fan in Atlanta, which is the home of the John Kincaid Show. But I'm coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Because when you need certainty and you want to navigate that home buying process and you need some help, look to the experts at Rocket Mortgage, because Rocket can. Love Rocket Mortgage. And we appreciate them being a part of the show this morning. It's been lively to start. I would say lively being the word. I told you all to have a homework assignment done, and we're gonna save it for next week. The first 10 out in the NFL, so it's gonna be a little bit more of a sprint this year, getting to it. But we're gonna start with that next week. So I was going to do that now, but there are so many things that I wanted to get to it, and you'd be able to join us on the phone lines at 855-212-4CBS. So yesterday I heard the Pony Express. We were coming from a graduation party. Congratulations, Levi, who's going to Alabama. He's heading on over to Alabama. We got a chance to go see his lovely mom and see Levi off to college. So I hear the Pony Express, and I hear the beginning of the show. And I thought somebody had died. That the MAC had canceled college football. I honestly thought somebody had died hearing it. And I've seen that and heard that tone from a lot of people in the last 24 hours. Could we be without college football in the fall? Absolutely, you could. Could one or two conferences go it alone? Absolutely, they could. Would it make sense to go forward with college football? Yeah, I would think it would. I put this out to you last night before going to bed. I said, remember, they told you there was not going to be 2020 sports. They said the NBA and the NHL wouldn't work. There was no way that Major League Baseball could play unless they were in a bubble. What's the common denominator that proved them wrong? They tried. And isn't that what it's supposed to be about? Trying something. Don't you try something? Don't you try something? Don't you give something a try? I know I hate Brussels sprouts. I hate them. Don't like them. Don't like the consistency of them, like the chew, hate them. Despicable. So my wife and my daughter get on to me, you don't try enough vegetables. You don't try enough vegetables. So I will guarantee the next time they make that vegetable that I hate, I'll put 3, 4, 5 on my plate and I'll eat them and I'll remember why I hated them. I'll remember why I hated them. And then I will remind my daughter and my wife why I hate them, why I don't like them, and I don't want to have them again. And we may have to repeat this process again like the next year. By the way, green beans, asparagus, sautéed spinach. That's about my desired vegetables on a plate. Carrots, if they're crunchy. I'm not the biggest vegetable guy in the world. Love salad, though. Love salad. So the greener the salad, the better. I'll get my roughage. I'll get a little bit of roughage and vegetation that way. But I try it. Before saying I hate it or reminding myself of why I hate it, I'll try it and I'll have a little bit more. Yes. If college football's called off and you saw last night Trevor Lawrence saying, I don't know about you guys, but we want to play. The athletes overwhelmingly want to play. The coaches overwhelmingly want to coach. But these decisions are going to be made by suits. They're going to be made by guys in suits. And they're going to be made by guys in suits on college campuses. And most of the guys, this is a spoiler alert, most of the guys in suits on college campuses making these decisions, well, let's just say they probably weren't on the football team. Maybe the debate team, maybe the chess club, maybe the business young businessmen's club, maybe the Rotary, I don't know, whatever on campus. Very rarely do the people who make decisions on college campuses about college athletics, they get to make, and I'm not talking about ADs, because yes, people think, well, the athletic director makes the decision. No. Who told you that? The athletic director works at the bequest of the president of the school. And if the president of the school doesn't like the athletic director or their positions, that person's gone. So if you do somehow lose college football this week, if that happens, just remember, it's a decision that's being made by suits. It's not a decision that's being made by scientists. It's not one that's being made by scientists, because there isn't a scientist in the world that's going to say to you, yeah, you can't. Yeah, there's no way. If there was a scientist that said, you can't do this, you cannot do this, they would literally say, shut it down. This doesn't make any sense. Don't ever have it. It's impossible to have it. And I'm not talking about one rogue scientist. I'm talking about more. By the way, I'm fascinated by the amount of people who told you to trust the science. Wasn't that the message? Trust the science, trust the science, trust the science. And then science tells us, get our kids back to school in the classroom. Get your kid back to school in the classroom. And what do people do? Ignore the science. So the same trust the science people. As I pulled my mic out, are the same people who are going to tell you, they're telling you trust the science. Now they're the same people telling you to ignore the science. Because you see, the science doesn't fit their worldview at the moment. When the science supports their worldview, then they say go with it. When the science doesn't support their worldview, they say disregard it. Can't have it both ways. I loved what I saw about Damian Lillard yesterday. Damian Lillard, who is a very, very talented basketball player who compiles a ton of stats. He's great with the stats. Now, the stats that matter, taking lousy teams, putting them on their shoulder, and then winning with them. He's not really good with that one. I think they're 6 or 7 games under 500. And before you at me on that, when I've heard people tell me Damian Lillard's a superstar. Okay. You know what a superstar does when they're surrounded by a bunch of jabronis? They elevate. You think I'm lying? I saw two of the greatest examples in the last generation. I saw Allen Iverson in Philly take a Joe Bag of Donuts team to the NBA Finals on his back. I saw LeBron James in what I consider to be one of his greatest accomplishments in his entire career, his first Cleveland team that he took to the Finals. The first team in Cleveland that he took to the Finals. One of his greatest accomplishments. To me, honestly, yes, he's a champion, and he's all these other things about LeBron. But that, to me, will be still one of the greatest accomplishments ever, is that he managed to take his first Cleveland team to a finals. So don't at me about Damian Lillard. Well, Damian Lillard, you know, he doesn't have a supporting cast. Yeah. He's got every bit the supporting cast that guys like Allen Iverson had. That guy's like the first time around that LeBron had in Cleveland. So give me a break on that. But Damian Lillard loves to have his little signature wave and a wave at people, waving goodbye to people. Remember his waving goodbye to people last year? So yesterday, he has a chance to keep his team against the Clippers, who, by the way, didn't even have their best player. And he gags. He gags, choked it up. Missed two free throws with the game on the line. Absolutely choked it up. And what did the LA Clippers bench do? They point to their wrist and then wave goodbye to Dame Lillard. And after the game, Dame couldn't take it. Well, they're waving at me because I waved at them, because I sent them home before. And that's why I'm I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm like, seriously. If you're going to be a taunter, if you're going to taunt, be able to accept taunting. If you're going to be a showboat and you're going to taunt other people, don't be offended when other people taunt you right back. Damian Lillard, man. I thought rappers were supposed to be tougher than that. Tougher, like thicker skinned than that. Man. His next, I don't know what the next title on his next rap album should be. Whining. Clanking the big shots. I don't know what it should be. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4CBS, sponsored by Geico. Do you know right now Geico is offering an extra 15% off credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already be saving you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to be able to learn more today. We would appreciate it if you did. Let me hear Damian Lillard after the game and hear what he had to say and let you hear it for yourself.
Asking me about Patrick Beverly, who I sent him home before at the end of a game. Paul George just got sent home by me last year in the playoffs. So they know that the reason they're reacting like that is because of what they expect from me, which is a sign of respect. And it just shows what I've done at a high clip more times than not. So I'm not offended by it. If anything, it should just tell you how much it hurt them to go through what I put them through in those situations.
Oh, yeah. How much it hurt them. Look, enough. Damian, here's what you got to do. And I know this might be like conflicting with the next rap album that you want to put out. My suggestion would be elevate others. Elevate others. He's speaking about himself there. It's the great respect they have for me. This is the great respect, and this is why I understand, because they're the great. He was so pissed off. He was so pissed that they were mocking him. Just absolutely destroyed by being mocked. This isn't about last year. This isn't about any other year. This is about the discussion point should be, this is about you not coming through. This is about you not being able to come through when everything else was on the line. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4CBS. Anthony in Boise joins us. Anthony, are you up early or up late? What is it?
Up early working.
Good to have you on board, buddy. What's going on?
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I was just going to say, I think it's ludicrous to say that Allen Iverson will upgrade his players more than Damian Lillard. I mean, Allen Iverson is famous for practice.
Okay.
He don't go to, you're talking about practice and the game I died for? He ain't even going to show up to practice with his players, and he's supposed to elevate his team more than Damian Lillard elevates
really?
His team.
Really? Breathe, and we can have a conversation. So here's who Allen Iverson took to the finals, the NBA finals. He took Aaron McKee, Dikembe Mutombo, Rajah Bell, Matt Geiger, Tyrone Hill, Jermaine Jones, that Pepe Sanchez from Temple University. Theo Ratliff. These are the. That's who he took to an NBA Finals. There are four guys I just named there who couldn't sniff being on this Blazers roster right now. And he went to the finals. He wasn't seven games under 500. So, I mean, that's what I'm getting at here.
Well, I don't know. I've seen a lot of the rookies come through Portland that are playing starting on other teams now, and I just think that Damian Lillard goes and he upgrades his team quite a bit. I've seen Portland.
How do you upgrade a team when you're seven games under 500? What are you talking about? Yeah. What is he upgrading them to? Would they have been 14 games under 500 without him?
I think they would have been about 14 games over 500 with Yusuf Nurkić and Zach Collins in the lineup the whole year.
If the ifs and buts were candies and nuts, every day'd be Valentine's Day. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate that. I've got that. Yeah, because you know what? Only Portland had some injuries. I don't know if you saw that. No other NBA team had any injuries at all. None of them. Man. But I'm sure Damian will put out a nice new rap. He'll get into a rap battle with somebody. He has plenty of time. He'll have plenty of time to work on that. How about be good at what you're supposed to be good at first? How about that? Deion Sanders ruffled some feathers. Oh, did he ever? Welcome aboard, John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio.
This is the John Kincaid Show.
Bring it.
Uncomfortable radio? It happens from time to time here on the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Seth Everett joins us in around 20 minutes or so. Seth's already up. Seth was going to join us in the next hour, and then he was up early. So he's up early, so he's going to join us coming up around 40 minutes past the hour here. We discuss Major League Baseball, among other things. Plenty of those things that we'll get to. Will Smith. You could make Anthony just two right turns are required.
And you're at Will Smith's house.
From the house I grew up in. Get out of my driveway, make a right turn on Westchester Pike, take it all the way down into West Philly, and then make a right-hand turn, and I could take you to the house Will Smith grew up in. How about that? See that? We're boys. We're boys. I think like 7 miles apart. I think we grew up like 7, maybe 8 miles apart.
Have you ever met Will Smith?
I have interviewed him. I've never met him. Never met him in person, but I have interviewed him. And he was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Appreciate you being a part of the show. 855-212-4CBS. Deion Sanders really ruffled some feathers. I love doing that, too. But I want to get to some of these calls. Got a lot of people on the line. Kyle in Boston joins us. Kyle, welcome to the John Kincaid Show. How are you, buddy?
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing all right, man. What's going on with you this morning?
Not much. Just driving to work. Figured I'd call in.
I appreciate you doing that.
Just wanted to say I agree with you on the Damian Lillard aspect of not elevating his teammates. And I've thought about this for 3, 4, 5 years now, and I would throw C.J. McCollum right in there with them, and I've always thought those two were overrated in that aspect, not in their skill and their ability, offensive ability, but in the ability of being a guard and a team guard and making your team better.
Yes.
But the comparison with Allen Iverson, let me just get my last point, and then
sure.
Let you get in, and we can go back and forth a little bit. The comparison with Allen Iverson is a little off because I think Allen Iverson, I don't know if he elevated those guys much neither. I think he was just so great that he did it himself, and he got to that championship against the Lakers.
You really don't think he elevated his peers?
I really don't.
You can't
I'm
win.
One of the biggest.
Really,
I'm one of the biggest Allen Iverson fans ever. I just think that it was a defensive team surrounded by a guy who could make things happen offensively for himself.
And if they hadn't fixed it with the officials to get Shaq a title, and Kobe a title, I mean, let's be honest. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it, man. I get you that, but I'm going to tell you that Allen Iverson getting that team to the finals, if that team could go to an NBA finals, Damian Lillard could have a team that at least is 500, not seven games under it or whatever it is. Terry in Knoxville, Tennessee joins us. Terry, how are you, buddy?
What's going on, my man?
Good to hear from you, Terry. What's up, buddy?
I got a couple of gripes with you. One is, let's start with the college football players real quick. I just want to make this comment. For you to say it's the suits that make the decision on that, man, that's kind of crazy. First of all, the suits got to make the decision to protect the players. What player is going to come out and say, oh, Floyd? I mean, come on, he don't look like he's a tough player. But that's their life on the line. And whatever decision they make, whether I...
Wait. Come here. Hold on a second. I'm going to let you make your point here. Okay, lives are on the line. Do you consider it more dangerous to play college football or for a young man, let's just make him 20 years old, a young, healthy, fit, athletic male to get coronavirus? What's more dangerous? Playing college football is more dangerous. But playing college football is 10 times more, 20 times, 50 times more dangerous. A broken neck, a broken breaking bones, puncture your lungs.
That's the natural risk. We're talking about something that we can avoid. We can avoid this virus if we do things the right way. That's their lives online. They decide that they're not going to really risk these people's lives for money. Because that's the only reason why they're risking it is for money. And then that's fine. But I play football. That's the natural risk you take.
Don't sell me on the risk being your reason. If you're saying you don't do it because of the money, guess what? You can sell.
Terry,
let's have a conversation. If you want to sell me on it's all about the money and that's why they shouldn't do it because it's not worth it, then that's fine. And I'm not going to, that's your point of view. I'm not going to tell you you're wrong. You absolutely are entitled to that opinion. But don't tell me it's about the risk. Because that's ridiculous.
It is the risk. It's their lives online. Don't
Terry, come on. No, stop. Terry, stop. Thank you, buddy. No. For a healthy 20-year-old, a healthy, fit, athletic male at 20 years old, it is far more dangerous to just play college football than it is to test positive for coronavirus. And if you don't, you can just go to the CDC and check the numbers. Come on there. Let's not go to there. If you say it's not worth doing it because it's all about the money, then guess what? You're entitled to that opinion. And guess what? It's hard for me to argue it. But get ready to wave goodbye to all those fringe sports that have been, you know, living off football for years. Joe in Cleveland joins us. Joe, welcome to the John Kincaid Show. How are you, buddy?
Hey, good morning. Good morning, John. I just want to kind of go off of the conversation you just had with the last caller and take some of the emotion out of it. I mean, I agree with you. Perhaps there's an opportunity for us to evaluate this virus and say, you know, maybe we could loosen some of the restrictions, but we don't have the power to do that. Unfortunately, we have societal restrictions right now, and some of our freedoms are restricted. And I think sometimes we have to accept the things we can't change. You know, with the MAC canceling the season, and I believe also the Ivy League canceling the season, perhaps it's the best choice maybe to look at next fall. I definitely don't think going into the spring is a good idea. But if we can't have college football, especially the way we normally have it, maybe we shouldn't have it at all. What do you think?
So you think you'd rather them abandon it and just go to next season, go to next fall?
Absolutely. Yeah, because I think we're getting close, actually, to getting back to living as normal. And I think if we do that, we owe it to the spring sports to let them come back and flourish and not interfere with that and then use that as kind of the foundation for back to normal.
Okay, here's what I'm going to ask you, though, Joe. You know that a little over a month ago, people were telling us baseball was never going to work. They were telling us that the NBA and the NHL, they're trying to come back, but we don't know if they can do it. You know how we find out we can't do things? We try.
John, how many times do we have game day before an NBA game? I just think college football itself is so much more of a product of that togetherness in the fans.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right, but if you limit the togetherness and say you're not going to have, what if they didn't have fans in the stands?
All right, that's fine. It could be done, but I think we have to have at least all the teams. We have to have a willingness to be able to play a full schedule, and we have to have an expectation for the fans that we're going to go through. We're going to have a CFP. We're going to have a postseason.
Well, the thing is that you start with that intention. But guess what? If 10 teams ended up being like the Miami Marlins, we wouldn't have a baseball season. If 10 teams decided to be selfish and break protocol and do their own thing, we wouldn't have a baseball season. You go in with the intention of having all those things in college football, but you might not be able to deliver it. But you, I appreciate it. Thanks for your call. But I damn well am going to try. I'm going to try. It's just not trying is not in my vocabulary. That wouldn't be in my vocabulary. To not try. That doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't fit with my wiring. But I can tell you this. If we don't have college football, okay. And by the way, the caller said it's all about the money. Absolutely. Dude, you're right. I mean, I can't argue with you on that. It is. It's about the money. But remember what that money does. It supports all those other fringe sports that literally live on public assistance at universities. They generate nothing. They generate no money. They're worse than the WNBA. They generate no money. Can't support themselves, but expect to be treated as legitimate. A lot of those sports are going to go away, and they're going to go away forever.
He loves being right. We just wish he was more often. Now back to the JK Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Boy, do I love being right. I love to be right. And yes, we can all be right a little more often if we tried harder. John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio. One of our friends on the show, and I don't want to use his Sports with Friends tag, but if you haven't checked out Sports with Friends or Hall of Justice, which, by the way, I found out one of my peers in local radio here in Atlanta listens to your Hall of Justice podcast, Seth Everett, Major League Baseball insider who joins us, and I was like, I didn't know. He goes, you have Seth Everett on your show. He goes, I listen to his Hall of Justice podcast. See that? How about that?
You just made my day, man.
And guess what? He didn't know you were a Major League Baseball insider. How about that one?
Wow.
He goes, why do you and Seth Everett follow each other? And I said, because he's a Major League Baseball guy. Oh, he's all into the superheroes. Every single thing about
man.
The superheroes.
Well, you tell him to follow me on Twitter because I got.
Well, there he. Oh no, he already does. He already does. So I don't want to. Can't get.
Cool.
Can't get. How are you this morning? Why are you up so early?
I don't know. We got my daughter's little 12th birthday party outside. A little social distancing.
Oh, that's so nice.
I'm
that's
drawing
nice.
6 feet lines. You know,
No bouncy houses. No, well, 12 is too old for bouncy.
12 is too old for bouncy houses.
What are you doing? I have a 16-year-old, so I'm beyond that. 12 seems like a distant memory.
They're going to paint sneakers, I think. That's what they said they want to do, because they saw something on YouTube.
Painting sneakers?
Yeah, that's fine. That's
my
fine.
Daughter's done that has done that to a couple pairs of sneakers.
Sure.
And
sure.
So it, whatever it is, whatever kind of creativity it brings to the table. So,
I'm fine with it.
So you have we have a Major League Baseball season that's going on right now.
I heard,
And I want to know, first of all, are you surprised it has gone off as it has, and who are you most surprised by? The teams that you're most surprised. Are you surprised that it has been, except for two teams going rogue, it's been really well executed so far? Are you surprised by that?
Oh, I'm not sure I would say well executed. I don't think the protocols are being enforced to a degree. I see a lot of high fives. I don't see any players sitting behind the dugout.
I see spitting.
They're all in the dugout. They're spitting.
I don't see
first basemen wearing masks. And I will tell you.
Reese Hoskins. Reese Hoskins.
Okay, that's one.
I think he has the mask over his eyes, though, up at the plate.
Funny.
That's what I'm going to just say.
And my whole point from a sports fan perspective, because I have not been able to get to a game yet. You know, I'm either going.
Sure.
I was going to go to a Phillies game, but then they had their whole outbreak situation, and now I'm thinking about going to a Yankees game. So I've been just watching it on TV, And what I find is when I watch the NBA and the NHL, I don't think about COVID. When I'm watching the NHL, and those playoffs have been something else.
Oh, they're awesome, eh?
And they've been something else. And I'm not thinking about who's safe and who's not and what's this and what's that. I don't think about that. But when I'm watching a baseball game, all I'm thinking about, and I find this all the time, is, well, that guy's not following it, and that guy's not following it, and that guy's not following it, and all you need is one to spread it. And it's my fear about the NFL, but that's not why you're having me on.
No. I think it's a very valid discussion, and it's one that I'm going to disagree with you a little bit, because these guys, they're constantly getting tested, and they're in the safest, they're in safe conditions. And yes, I agree with you, but I don't find myself watching games going, oh my gosh, he just high-fived somebody.
But the players, unlike the NBA and the NHL, these players can go wherever they want it.
They can.
And as the summer goes on, and you have teams that are, 2-10 that are not going to take this as seriously. And, 20 years ago, I was taught that a Major League Baseball clubhouse is like a high school cafeteria. You have your cool guys, you have your social outcasts, you have your nerds, you have your shy people, you have your introverts. Like, you have all different kinds. If we're as fractured as we are in this country, why do you presume that there's 3 to 5 guys on each team that think COVID is dumb, that masks are stupid, and all of this is a big waste of time?
So you think that you're going to say that there'll be a later collapse of other teams?
I think a lot of teams are going to ease up on their restrictions, because what's happening is they're seeing that nobody's enforcing anything. And so to sit there and write a 101-page protocol book that says, you must stay 6 feet apart and you can't sit next to each other in the dugout, and to see it on TV, and they do close-ups on all these TV networks, and no one's saying anything. And all I'm saying to myself is, well, if they're not going to enforce it, then the players will take it less and less seriously. And so my argument, and the St. Louis Cardinals are going to have to play 55 games in 45 days.
Why?
Because their Pirates series is about to get canceled.
No, but why?
Well,
because of their actions.
Well, no. Hold on. They went to a casino. I get it. I totally get it. The Marlins, all they did was one guy hugged one guy. That's all it was.
No, it wasn't.
They didn't go out.
I live in Atlanta. That's not what happened. They went out. They went out in our city. They broke protocol, and they know it. And they know they broke protocol.
Well, your guy, Hugh Douglas, made the line. Lou Williams walks into Magic City. Shows up on Instagram in 10 seconds. The entire Marlins team could walk in uniform, and nobody would know.
And that is the truth. And by the way, I'm just going to give you two words for the Marlins story. Steakhouse. Not strip club. Steakhouse. It was a steakhouse.
Well, but the argument has been, from my standpoint, is I just wanted this season to. I worry about the non-isolation sports.
Right.
That's
and
my
you
whole
should thing. And you should, because it is riskier. Did you hear what Alex Anthopoulos and the Braves are doing? With their road trip to Philly, they've picked up the room service tab.
Oh, and they're telling guys not to go out. Yes.
But they picked up the room service tab. And Jeff Francoeur on the broadcast last night is saying, I'd be having wine and steak and lobster coming to my room if I knew the GM and the organization were picking up the room service tab. Can you imagine? Would you be a take advantage guy?
No, I would not be. But
so you'd have like the club sandwich.
Jeff Francoeur and I had a nice little run-in back in 2010. So Jeff Francoeur is not my example.
Oh my gosh!
The idea, from my standpoint, of how this all comes down. The other part about it is, the money doesn't leave the purview, and where the money becomes a bigger deal is everybody's making the playoffs, and they want to have extra playoffs. So my fantasy World Series is I want the Cleveland Indians to play the Colorado Rockies, and I'd like a blizzard to wipe out both cities.
I think it's going to be a bubble.
Well, but that was my whole argument back in April.
No, I think it's going to be an 8-team when they get done the opening round series. When they get done the 16 and it becomes 8, I believe those 8 teams will
move isolate
to,
them.
Yes,
I've heard that, and I talked to somebody in the union because the union was were the people who were against the bubbles in the first place. My original proposal was 81 games in 90 days in September, October, November in Florida and Arizona.
Okay,
and what my logic was you know, we didn't know what the hot spots were going to be, so I couldn't go by that. But then the weather is more amicable, so that you could isolate these guys somewhat because none of them will be in their homes.
Right, right, right.
And just the idea that you could have, you know, these games at these spring training facilities, which have all the camera facilities and all the broadcast facilities and everything's ready to go. And they didn't want that because the players didn't want to be isolated for that long. That's the argument about the NFL season. The NFL season is longer than its off season.
Sure.
So there are some sports that just simply can't do it. And the argument about the NBA and the NHL bubbles is that every 10 days, it divides in half. Because as teams are getting eliminated, they're out of the bubble. And so this argument from baseball standpoint of they want their cake and eat it too. They want the freedoms to do whatever they want, and then they're shock and awe that the Cardinals and Marlins have these outbreaks.
Well, I think 30 teams, when 28 teams know how to conduct themselves like adults, and by the way, honor the agreement that they made to their peers, I don't understand those guys. I am surprised. I am surprised that grown-ups can't be grown-ups.
And the biggest thing
maybe that's bad that on my part that I'm surprised by it.
No, I thought this would be exactly what we would see. And to be honest with you, the one disappointment that I had, the first one was the 2-hour rain delay on opening night in Washington when Manfred 5 days before went on one of those shows and said, guys shouldn't be in the clubhouse for too long, and I encouraged them to shower at home. And I was like, yeah, but if it's raining, we can all go play cards. Like, wait a second.
Right.
You can't have it both ways. And then the argument on the Philadelphia Phillies knew on that Sunday morning that the Marlins had 4 positive tests, and they took the field anyway.
But wait, and I'm going to say, too, though, is the Phillies also got shut down because of 3 positive tests, and 2 of them were false.
Correct.
They ended up with one person legitimately, which never should have shut things down because you have a 60-man roster. It never should have shut the team down. They should have had one day shut down and had somebody fill that roster spot. That's what it's there for.
I see it has to be a little bit more conservative than that.
Okay, maybe what do you want, 3 days? You want 72 hours?
But that's the point. And my two favorite stories from this whole season have been, number one, when the Phillies told the Yankees that they had cleaned the visitors' clubhouse when the Marlins left.
Right.
And the Yankees didn't believe them, so they hired their cleaning crew, and they rented them a car, and they said, road trip! And the cleaning crew went down to because they didn't believe that the Phillies cleaning crew could do a good enough job. That one, and my favorite line is when the 2 weekends ago, when the Angels left fielder was going for a fly ball in Oakland down the left field line, and he was interrupted by a bunch of life-size teddy bears.
Yes.
And people said, well, you know, if the teddy bears weren't there, fans would have interfered with that. And I said, well, who are you kidding? They don't sell tickets out there in Oakland.
Hey, Oakland's, they are, you know, we haven't gotten to much baseball, but I love the conversation. Oakland's playing some tremendous ball. They really are. They are.
So are the Marlins.
And the Marlins, okay. The Marlins will fall out of contention very soon.
And if you go into the media in Los Angeles, they won't acknowledge that because they don't want to give Don Mattingly credit for anything.
Exactly. Hey, Seth, take care of yourself. Have a great week. Stay safe and enjoy the birthday party today.
Oh, thanks. We'll paint a shoe for you.
There you go. All right. A John Kincaid Show shoe. Thank you, buddy. That'd be great. That is awesome. Always love having Seth Everett on. And I love the idea of just wandering in a conversation, like, you know, you have check out Sports with Friends, and by the way, Hall of Justice from Seth Everett, Major League Baseball insider. I like it when a conversation just sort of becomes organic like that. You know, we could have broken down the standings, 15 games in. Your Mets, Anthony, got to get on their horse.
I mean, except for like two games this year, I mean, they've been in all these games. They've had chances to win. So they've been competitive. It just, I mean, they've left so many runners on base. It's unbelievable. They just, they've struggled to come up with the big hit in a lot of these spots. And then, of course, at times, the that ugly bullpen.
What do you think of the, have you seen anything of the Phillies so far? Or the like, you've obviously seen the Braves.
Yes, I've seen enough of the Braves.
You've seen enough of the Braves.
The Braves just own the Mets. I'm tired of the
they
Braves.
They do. They own them.
They do.
The Soroka injury, and we talked about
that
it off the air.
Yeah, I was watching that game. That was really hard to watch.
Oh, such a nice young man, too.
And one of the bright young stars of the game going down like that's tough.
And hopefully he is going to be able to make a full recovery there. But now the Mets and the Braves, same thing. You guys are trying to do it without Syndergaard. Now, it's not like losing DeGrom.
No Stroman either.
I mean, it's, you know, these teams got to do this, and you wonder if the short season has something to do with some of these injuries. All right, we got a lot coming up. Deion Sanders says you're soft. The New York Yankees are damn soft. I mean, seriously. And when did we become this as a nation? All coming up in the second half of the John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio.